Next on BYUSN, the newest edition of the College Football Playoff Rankings will be released tonight. Where do we believe BYU should be ranked? We'll discuss. ESPN's Sean Farnham joins the program. What stood out about BYU's performance against UConn, and what are his expectations for the Wisconsin game Friday?
Men's basketball drops two spots to number 9 in the new AP Top 25 after the loss to UConn. Is that a fair spot to be in? And Cougar defensive lineman Billy Puha details how BYU's defense is getting after quarterbacks, and we'll look ahead to the game of all games at Cincinnati.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Great to have you with us. It's Tuesday, November 18th. I'm Jerome Jordan. He is Pop-Tart mascot coordinator Dave McCann.
You know, the only Pop-Tart I've ever had was on this show.
I remember.
I'm not a Pop-Tart guy. but here's what's going on with the Pop-Tarts Bowl, which BYU could be in. They were in last year, and they could be there. But Nicole Arbach reporting that what the Pop-Tarts are doing is they're going to sacrifice an edible Pop-Tart, is what they're calling it. you got three on Team Sprinkles and then three on Team Swirls, and then fans get a vote which mascot team will be sacrificed to, quote, mouth heaven at the end of the game. It's Pop-Tart's version of the Hunger Games, and this is what they're dealing with. They're not sure what teams are going to have, so they're like, you know what we should do? Let's sacrifice some Pop-Tarts.
Listen, if BYU doesn't make the College Football Playoff, and we all hope they do, I hope it's in the Pop-Tarts. Like, Alamo is great. I just love a different flavor, pun intended. So we'll see what happens with that potentially. BYU could be in that situation. Hopefully there's something a little better, but if not, Pop-Tarts could be interesting.
We're going to spend time today talking about what may be a little bit better and that's on the horizon. But yeah, the Pop-Tarts Bowl and the Alamo Bowl. They're hoping BYU doesn't make that. They want BYU.
I bet Utah goes to one of those two.
Yeah.
As the kind of third best team in the Big 12 right now. As currently constituted, let's hope BYU holds out as number two and maybe even number one if they go to the Big 12 title game and win it. We'll
see. Hey, why not?
All rise and shout. It's time for a tasty edition of What's Trending.
So much good that we did.
When it really mattered, I thought we were executing at a really high level.
All we had to do was get stops and get them the ball, and the score just kept inflating.
This win as a bounce back is important for the committee to see.
Yes, it is. What's Trending is presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. So tonight, the new College Football Playoff rankings will be released. Between Kentucky, Michigan State, and Duke, Kansas, around 8:30 Eastern on ESPN. We'll keep an eye on that. Head coach Kalani Sitake was asked yesterday if he gets frustrated with BYU sitting behind two lost teams in the rankings. Here's part of his response.
I know all the stuff that's out there. I know what people are saying in the metrics and analytics and the style points and all that stuff. My focus isn't on that. So I understand everything that's out there. I got to be focused on what we can control, which is playing football and the preparation today. That's what I got to focus on. So it's nice that we're in the mix and that people are recognizing what we do, but what does that matter if we don't go 1-0 this weekend? So my focus and what I'm trying to keep the team focused on is the stuff that we can control. I know one thing, we go out there and play at our best and I like our chances, but until then, I'm not going to sit here and campaign and waste my energy on stuff that I can't control.
Indeed, he's just going to try and win the games. And so far, that's been pretty good for BYU at 9-1. So, Dave, in your opinion, you know, Kalani doesn't have to campaign for it. We can. We got an hour. We got several hours this week. In your opinion, where should BYU be ranked? Not where will they be ranked. Where do you think they should be ranked?
Kalani's seen this movie before, right? We saw it last year, and then they didn't take care of business. So I totally respect his position on, you know, had they beaten Kansas and Arizona State, then the campaigning would have actually taken place without anyone saying, we should be there, right? So here we are again, and his position's firm. It's the Kansas, only this week it's the Cincinnati. Got to win that game and then let it go. But yeah, for us, you know, I've kind of gone back and forth since our conversation earlier this morning as to how it should be, because there's two measuring sticks. There's the eye test that seems to have this overruling influence. And then there's the metrics that they say, this is what the decision's based on. And the committee can't quite separate the two because they use one to justify the other and the other to justify this one. So the teams that we think BYU might be or should be ranked ahead of, would Vegas have them beating any of those teams? Would Vegas have them beating Oklahoma, Oregon, Ole Miss or Notre Dame?
No.
So
they barely have BYU beating Cincinnati.
Yeah. So there's that portion of, yeah. But Vegas isn't part of the thing.
I don't want
it's that
to be.
It's strength of schedule. It's wins and losses and all that stuff.
Agreed.
But the committee can't seem to separate that concept because it's the only way to explain how it's gone so far. Should BYU, they were there 12, would they be 11? If you look at the metrics, they should be maybe 7, maybe 8, maybe 6. If you're looking at strength of schedule and all the things that they say they look at. But then when the poll comes out, it's something else because they can't get away from the eye test or the bias or however you want to do it.
Or what happened last week.
Or what happened last, yeah. So it's here's like, a look at these teams.
There can be gross, you know, difference from week to week, in my opinion. It doesn't have to just be slightly different than last week as we take a look at the metrics. So you think, what'd you say, as high as 6 or 7?
6 or 7 or 8, based on the metrics. But you look at those teams and you go, who's BYU beating on Saturday? And you go, hey, Vegas, what do you think? They're usually all right. And Vegas would say, no. And so then how can you justify being ranked ahead of them? Because of the metrics.
To me, it's less about would BYU win that game and more about what do you deserve based on what you've done. So let's assess what BYU's done and where we think they'd be. So I could see an argument, like you said, for as high as 6, as low as 10. I think BYU, and I think you agree, will come in tonight at 11.
Yeah.
That's probably what they'll be.
Up one spot because Texas got hammered, and Texas was the one team ahead of them that lost.
Yes, and I expect Alabama to be at 10, just right ahead of BYU. Okay, so let's walk through some of the teams. I don't think there's any question Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M should be the top three. You can argue the order there. Ohio State probably should be one based on how they smashed everybody. Indiana, 2, Texas A&M, still 3 probably because they had the greatest comeback I've seen in a long time, down 30-3 at halftime. They won 31-30. South Carolina still out of possession, by the way, to go win that game. Okay, then the conversation begins. Georgia seems like a solid number 4 to me. Then I would put Texas Tech at 5.
Right.
There's no reason they shouldn't be 5. They won't be tonight. They'll probably be 6. They're destroying everybody. The one loss is with the backup quarterback in the second half on the road against the Big 12 reigning champs at Arizona State.
Right.
That's a great win. They smashed BYU and they beat Utah on the road by 24.
So
with the backup quarterback.
So what is it? What's holding Texas Tech back? They don't love Texas Tech.
But the metrics should love
Texas
Tech.
Love is not part
of
the metrics.
Right. They should love what they're seeing from Texas Tech. So 5 probably there. And then 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's where the conversation is. So let's chat about it. Ole Miss is 10-1. They're 5 spots behind BYU in strength of schedule. They have the same number of Power 4 wins, 2 fewer wins versus bowl games, 1 score wins versus teams like Kentucky, Arkansas, LSU, Wazoo. That feels a lot like BYU's resume.
Their 1 losses to Georgia. Okay.
Yes, that's a great loss.
BYU's 1 loss
if
to Texas Tech. They're ranked right next to each other.
They beat Oklahoma. That win's better than BYU's best win, which is versus Utah. So right. I would probably have Ole Miss ahead of BYU just slightly. How about Oregon? Top 7 in FPI, SP+, net efficiency, game control. But only 2 wins versus bowl teams. They haven't played a tough schedule. SOS, strength of schedule, 31. That's 4 spots behind BYU. I could see an argument for BYU just a touch ahead of Oregon based on those metrics. Same record. FPI way better. Strength of record just behind. Best win. BYU's got a better one. I could see an argument for BYU ahead of Oregon. I could. Okay, next. Oklahoma, 8-2. They're going to be ahead of Alabama because same record. Now they have the head-to-head.
In Tuscaloosa, which was
yes. The difference with Alabama's second loss is they have 1 to Florida State.
Right.
That's not a good loss. They're 5-5.
But they've been forgiven.
They're Alabama. The group, I hate
the
that.
The committee forgave Alabama of some earlier sins.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yes.
But that's
we
how
we believe
it
in this principle in the gospel of Jesus Christ as well.
Just not in the college football playoff.
That loss versus Florida State has been blotted out, if you will, as the scriptures say. Oklahoma is behind BYU in FPI, strength of record, net efficiency, power 4 wins, and win versus bowl games. So why are they ahead of BYU tonight? Because their strength of schedule is 10, Dave, and they've beaten Michigan, Tennessee, and Alabama.
Right.
Those are 3 good wins. BYU has 1 such win in that category. The losses are to Texas by 17. That's not great. Ole Miss by 8. I think Oklahoma should be ahead of BYU.
And they looked good last week.
Yeah.
They're hot right now. And they look good.
Okay. No, Alabama after this. 8-2. Strength of schedule is 4. No one's saying they haven't played a tough schedule.
Right.
7 wins in the top 30 of FPI. By comparison, BYU has 1. It's Utah. The loss to Florida State's not great. The loss to Oklahoma's not terrible. But they've beaten Georgia, Vandy, Missouri, yep. Tennessee. I feel like if BYU had played Alabama's schedule, they would have three or four losses.
Interesting.
That's
with Alabama,
a tougher schedule.
Because I think they play a Twinkie or a cupcake this week. But then they
the
got
SEC,
then they got Auburn. They could lose that game. That's like the BYU-Utah game. It can go either way.
Auburn's
and if
Campbell's.
They were to somehow get in the SEC championship game and lose to Georgia,
yep.
a three-loss Alabama team is not going to be in the playoff.
I think they're getting out. They weren't in last year. They yeah. probably wouldn't be in this year.
No one should be in with three.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, probably not. They weren't last year, but I don't know that rule is hard and fast. Okay, and last but not least, let's look at Notre Dame. So yesterday I asked Trevor about, hey, Notre Dame, and he said he could see the argument for BYU above Notre Dame. 8-2, fifth in FPI and SP+, ahead of BYU in net efficiency and game control. SOS two spots behind BYU, strength of record six spots behind BYU. Two losses. They were to Texas A&M and Miami. I think people respect those losses. Good wins, USC and Pitt. I think BYU should be ahead of Notre Dame. I think so Notre Dame, Ole Miss, Oregon, I can see stronger arguments for why BYU should be ahead of those three in particular. Not so much for me for Oklahoma and Alabama based on top 10 strength of schedule and more good wins. And that's, to me, what it boils down to, Dave. What does the committee care about? For me, I look at strength of schedule and quality wins, and that sort of dictates how I flesh it out. And BYU has an opportunity against Cincinnati to add to the resume. Now in FPI, they're not that high. I think they're 42. They were in the top 25 last week. That's why I wanted them to win, so it'd be a top 25 win. They would have knocked them out of the top 25 if BYU won. But I would have, yes, I can see an argument for BYU around 8. I think that's, I could see as high as 6, as low as 10. So put me in the middle, around 8. This is just some of the conversation that the committee would be having in the room. And, yeah, the eye test and whatever. I don't know that BYU is going to have a legitimate at-large opportunity. I think realistically, the only way they're going to get in is winning the Big 12 title.
Yeah, I agree.
And then there's no question. And, oh, by the way, if you win that, it's a home game. You're going to be 5-8 somewhere, probably 7 or 8. And you would host somebody in Lavelle Edwards Stadium in December in a playoff game.
I know the meetings.
That's what's out there for BYU.
I know
Let's
the NCAA
go.
Has talked with BYU about making sure that field's ready.
Yeah.
So that all that prep is there. The team just has to win their way there. And I agree with you. I think BYU has just got to win out, you know. And then you win the bowl game or the Big 12 championship game. You take a public opinion out of play. They have to put you in because you just won the Big 12 championship.
And that's what Kalani was kind of talking
and
about.
And it's like,
we're just
going to
go.
Why not
field?
Just do that? It's not impossible. And no BYU team's ever going to back into the playoff because someone just thought, you know what, I would just like to have BYU involved.
Yep.
They win next week or win this week at Cincinnati, which is going to be on primetime TV. That will look good. They'll be 10-1. And then all of a sudden the argument becomes a little bit greater. Because you went on the road and you beat Cincinnati. A lot of times this season, people thought Cincinnati was pretty good. But 10-1 seems different than 9-1 as you're trying to push your way in.
Yep.
But it comes down to the eye test in the end. And that's the not fair part because that's the my opinion part. And for whatever reason, as Chase Roberts said the other day, BYU has to go out and prove themselves every single week. And that just seems to be the pattern. There's
continue
where we are.
What you did against TCU. If BYU is not just able to beat Cincinnati, but put it on them a little bit, and then beat UCF, they're coming in hot. Because then you go 11-1, only lost to Texas Tech, who's awesome.
Yeah,
that's a playoff team, regardless of what happens in the Big 12 title game. We hope.
Yeah.
We keep saying they need to play competitive. The hope is the committee goes, they shouldn't be punished for playing the extra game. That's the hope.
If you don't win,
but I don't know,
then it's a moot point.
Yep, exactly.
So
okay, we think again tonight, BYU is coming in at 11. They're up a spot from 12. Alabama's probably at 10. That's probably what's going to happen tonight. I'm not betting the mortgage on it, but it'd be close because I don't bet at all. So there you go. Our question of the day is this: in your opinion, where do you believe BYU should be ranked in the college football playoff rankings? Why?
Gen X BYU fan on X, just behind Bama, above Notre Dame, and above Oregon, whose best win is checking .. Iowa.
And that's a good
they
win.
They kicked a field goal.
But it's not as good as beating Utah.
Right.
I mean, on the road at Iowa is, you could argue that's
but Utah's
better than
13,
Utah, but
right?
Utah's pretty high.
Yeah.
Poor Utah's going to just have to sit behind BYU if BYU keeps winning. They cannot go above BYU.
That's what you get
it
when you lose.
It won't happen. You can score 55 at Baylor. You lost twice. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. at Snowblue 75 on X. BYU should be at number 7, right behind Texas Tech. BYU has more wins against bowl-eligible Power 4 teams than any other Power 4 program. They're tied in that regard with three other teams, by the way. Ohio State, Indiana, and I'm trying to remember the fourth. Strength of record's better than Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Alabama, only one loss to Texas Tech. The quality of loss argument only goes so far. At some point, you have to win in order to justify your ranking. That's absolutely right. Unfortunately, BYU's schedule, and Arizona's trying to help in this right now, it's 7-3. BYU's got one win of note. You know, it's Utah. What's the other win that really pops in this conversation? There's not one for BYU. Hopefully Arizona wins out and finishes 9-3, and you go, okay, there's kind of a second-ish one that's similar to, a Missouri win or whatever in the SEC. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Men's basketball dropped two spots in the new top 25 to number 9 after the loss to UConn. What do you make of BYU staying in the top 10 after their first loss?
They deserve it. It was a semi-away loss to number 3 by 2, where BYU had a furious second half. I don't think anyone watched that game and thinks less of BYU. I think, in fact, people think more of BYU, given no Kennard Davis, and then Kay Bakeda, of course, injured in that game, didn't play in the second half. So I'm completely happy with this. And then it's fun to see 6 teams in the top 25. Of note for Kansas, Darren Peterson's got a hamstring. I don't know that he's going to play against Duke tonight. We'll see. But Houston, number 2. Arizona up to 4 from 5 last week. Tech, Iowa State in there as well. I think it makes total sense to keep BYU in the top 10. My hope is that BYU doesn't drop out of the top 15 all year, Dave.
It's like 149 days between now and the Final Four. That's when you want to see BYU and UConn back together again. They'll be two very different teams. We saw what Kevin Young did with his roster last year. Give him some time. It was mid-February when they flipped the switch and turned into a Sweet 16 team. The talent is off the charts. The opponents they're playing, Wisconsin this week, and then you get Miami, maybe Georgetown, Clemson in New York. It's a whole different world we're in. But this is what a top 15 team does. So, yeah, I was happy to see him at 9. And I think the national media, we talked just a moment ago about not respecting BYU. The national media respects A.J. DeBonta. And so I think the benefit of the doubt will be there on BYU's favor this time of like, but look what they have and look who they have. I'm going to rank them higher.
And if BYU had lost to Texas Tech by one score, they would not have dropped 5 spots. They would have dropped probably 3 spots. That's what happened to basketball. They played a competitive game with UConn, right, and they only dropped 2 spots.
Yeah. If it was
that
a halftime score,
everything.
It would have been
yes.
much different.
Well, with 14:55 to go, it's a 20-point game. Yeah. The margin matters in winning and losing. A.J. DeBonta was named to the Big 12 starting 5. I love that, for the second straight week. Will there be a week A.J. is not named to the Big 12 starting 5?
If there is, it'll be the week that A.J. decides he does not want to be in that starting 5. it'll be A.J. decided to have 15 assists, and now Richie's in the starting 5.
I would think 15 assists would get you
but
in.
But that Dave. Would probably still get him in. He's a marquee player, and he played like it in that second half. That second half solidified more about A.J. in the NBA draft than anything that's happened since the last draft. That's how dominant he was in the Garden against the third-ranked team in the country. I think any NBA scout, and we read about it in the aftermath, any NBA scout saw exactly what they wanted to see from A.J. in that setting. And it's the, fourth game of the season? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of A.J. left.
Yes, there is. I think there will be 4 or 5 weeks where he's not in the starting 5. Like, there's 16 teams.
It's a good league.
It's only 5 dudes, and there's 6 ranked teams in the league. So, yes, there will be weeks where he's not in it, but so far he's 2 for 2.
If you missed yesterday's episode of Coordinator's Corner with Aaron Roderick and Jay Hill, you can watch it on demand at BYUSN.com or the BYU TV app. It's a good hour. It'll get you ready for Saturday night.
Coming up, ESPN's Sean Farnham on BYU's performance against UConn, the matchup with Wisconsin this Friday, and where the Cougars still need some work. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
This place is electric. Are you kidding me? He'll take it from straight away. Yes! A.J. DeBonta! Richie's going to the rim!
There's a lot that BYU needs to be excited about. This team's potential is there. We're not going to walk away from the physicality of the game.
Dave and I might, but the team won't. No. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We're live in Studio B. Jerem Jordan, Dave McCann with you. ESPN's Sean Farnham joins us throughout the college basketball season to talk about the Cougars, A.J. DeBonta, and his increased coverage on NBA Today, which I think is happening. Sean, that's why you're all dressed up. It wasn't for us.
Well, it was for you, but it's really because I'm going to go on NBA Today and talk about the Champions Classic tonight, and they're airing my feature that I did with Darren Peterson about a month ago. So excited to showcase him, even though it looks like he's not going to go tonight. Still one of the best freshmen in the country and an opportunity to shine some light on college basketball so to a different audience. So I'm excited about that.
That's awesome, man. We can't wait to see it. Of course, A.J. DeBonta, Darren Peterson, Koa Pete at Arizona. The freshmen in this league, I mean, Houston has some too. The freshmen in this league are dynamite. I mean, are we thinking there are 3, 4, 5 taken in the top 10 maybe in the NBA draft?
Five as of right now. Because I think, you know, you talk about those guys. Listen, we came into the year knowing that AJ and Darren were going to be elite, right? Like that's 1-2 in the NBA draft by almost everybody that's paying attention. Then Pete comes out and plays the way he does against Florida, and everybody goes, wait a second, this guy's really good too. But I think the most impressive has been Kingston Flemings, to be honest with you. Not out of those first two, but outside of those first two, Kingston Flemings from Houston. Yeah. He's averaging 17 points per game and about 5 assists per contest. We don't see those numbers from freshmen for Kelvin Sampson. And Coach Sampson brought him to a press conference last week and was like, hey, this guy, I'm so proud of this guy and how he's been bought in. And he adds a different dimension. You know, there's a lot of questions for Houston on without L.J. Crier, who was going to be the guy that would consistently step up in those big moments and be able to knock down a shot. The answer has been Kingston Flemings so far. And I think that's very much so the reason why Houston looks like they're the team that everybody thought they were going to see. Obviously, going on the road to Birmingham, Alabama, eking out with a victory over Auburn over the weekend. Not necessarily the greatest performance from this Houston Cougars team, but I think you can see what they're going to be as time goes on because their defense is going to get stronger. And offensively, they're starting to find their rhythm a little bit more.
Sean, let's stay with this impressive theme and go to the second half against UConn. What did you see from A.J. DeBonta that you wanted to see, and how impressed were you?
Everything. Like, how's that for an answer? I saw everything. I saw everything that you would think that the number one pick in the NBA draft would do. His ability to take over a game, his efficiency, after struggling a little bit in the first half, and I think some of that probably was because the location of the game, right? Like, it's a return home game, basically. It's on national television. It's a big-time NBA environment. He came out a little bit tight, I thought, early in that contest, trying to do a little bit too much. He took a breath at halftime, and when he came back out, he showcased exactly who we think that he is, and that's the best player on this team, the best prospect in college basketball, and he showed everybody that he can score when he wants to, how he wants to, in a versatility way, the versatility that makes him a unique prospect for that next level. And I was just blown away with how he was able to play. And then just the toughness, too. I was listening to you guys. Like, the margins do matter, right? And that first half wasn't great. It wasn't great defensively. It certainly wasn't great offensively. But the second half, they stepped up, and they had to do it without Kevakeda, too. And I thought that was probably the most impressive part. Like, if you're a BYU fan, like, you lose Kevakeda and you're like, oh, man, they're just going to destroy us in the second half. This first half didn't look good. We're down by 11. We're without Kevakeda now. And then the next thing you know, you look up, and this team fought even harder. They bought in, and they came closer. And I think that's something, if you're a BYU fan, you're looking at going, okay, there was growth there, and these are the type of games that you need to play. Remember, when I came on before the start of the season, Jerem, I told you there'd be losses here. There's going to be. There's going to be losses, but what you want to see is you want to see the character of this team. You want to see the toughness of this team. You want to see how they come together in those moments. Do they separate and start to go on their own island, or do they come together and work towards a common goal? And I thought you saw that in spades in the second half in particular. They were electric offensively. They battled on the glass. They did all the things that you'd want to see them do in order to try to make it a game. Scoring 52 points in one half against UConn is no joke. And I think that bodes well for this team moving forward.
I've never felt better about a team, BYU team, after a loss ever than this. I think people nationally go, hey, BYU's really good. And so what has stuck out for you after the first 4 games and 2 weeks of BYU men's basketball to start the year?
That we haven't seen even close to the best version of this team yet. I think that's it. I think it's all starting to come together, but it's a maturation process, right? I thought Rob Wright showed a lot of good things, in particular in the second half of that game. But let's be honest, Richie Saunders was not even close to the Richie Saunders in which we would expect. If you would have told me that Richie Saunders goes 0 for 7 from 3, I would have told you that BYU is getting blown out. But he goes 0 for 7, and the team still finds other ways. They have other versatility. They have other parts that are stepping up. I think you still need to find some better bench production. Dawson Baker has been good. But obviously you need reinforcements there. Maybe you have reinforcements coming in January. 6'10", big dude. Maybe he helps out a little bit.
My understanding is they plan to redshirt him.
I want to see him play. You can say that you want to redshirt him, but if Kevin Cade is out for a long period of time, you need to let him go. And you need to put him out there. I think the plan is to redshirt him, sure. But if you have a chance to win a national championship and your star has come out and said anything less than a national championship will be a disappointment for the team, you need to make sure that you have all the pieces in your arsenal to be able to go on out and get it. So I would like to see him at least get a chance through practice to prove that he needs to be out there. But Stanton needs to provide a little bit more. His ability to block shots, his length is good, but he gets pushed around a little bit defensively. I think that's a concern as you get through conference play. Size is going to matter as the season goes along, and I think you're going to need that. So we'll see how that plays out. But I understand what the plan is. I just think that the plan might have to be altered if you think this team has a chance to win a national championship. I think the other key is going to be Rob Wright needs to cut down his turnovers. Too many turnovers, too few of assists. Now, Rob Wright is really good at getting downhill. But when he gets downhill, sometimes he leaves his feet. When he leaves his feet, he's jumping in the air, and that's when turnovers start to happen. He needs to be solid. He needs to understand where guys are relocating, and he needs to make the simple play. Sometimes he's trying to force the issue a little bit too much, and that comes with synergy, and that comes with time. You cannot rush chemistry, right? Whether it's in a personal relationship, you know, you might think you hit it off really well early. As time goes along, you're like, wait, hold on. There's some layers to this person I'm dating.
Don't tell that to the BYU return missionaries.
I know, I'm sorry.
They go a little quick for my taste, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that the chemistry there, it takes time to develop and make sure that you're on the same page. And I think the timing of it in particular is key. 6 turnovers is far too much against an opponent like UConn. They're going to capitalize on those turnovers. They did. And I think that at the end of the day, some of those empty possessions, in particular early in the game, ended up costing them the opportunity to get a win in Boston.
Basketball insights and relationship advice with Sean Farno of ESPN.
I'm here for it all, guys.
Like, listen, we know, dude.
I've been married for 23 years.
Congratulations.
I always joke and say my wife rolls over in bed in the morning at least 40% of the time and goes, why is this guy still here? And I think it's because I make her laugh. I think that's probably what makes it work.
Listen, 60% of the time she's happier there. So that's, I like that number.
Good percentage.
I'll take it.
Sean, where November and December basketball are so different from March basketball, right? Look at your calendar and see where BYU fits in. At what point do you expect the BYU team that you're going to see in March to be that team? If it comes too early, then sometimes it fades. But last year really didn't come till mid-February. What's your calendar say?
I think it comes a little earlier this year. I've always kind of had like that second week of January, third week of January. We're going to know who this team is by then. I think up until that point in time, we're going to see a lot of tests. This game against Wisconsin is no joke, by the way, that's coming up. But I think we're going to see them continue to understand, again, that chemistry aspect that I was just talking about. I think that's going to continue to grow as you get closer and closer. But by middle of January, if you want to compete at a national championship level, if you want to compete for a Big 12 championship, you better be close to who your best is by that point in time. Otherwise, you're going to be dropping too many games early to kind of catch up in the conference race. And those are games that start to impact seeding, right? Like, that was a seeding game over the weekend. But it's not one that, because of the way the outcome was, it's not dropping them a seed line, right? You talk about the polls. I don't really care about much of the top 25 polls right now. I think most of them are a joke because we don't know who these teams really are, and we're guessing still at this point in time. And that's not a slap against anybody that's voting in those polls. I don't think there's enough on tape to truly know who's an elite level team yet. There are certain teams that we have a hint that they are, and we're seeing that. And BYU's in that mix still. But they played against a team in UConn that is a team that we also think is good enough to maybe potentially win a national championship. So that's an Elite Eight Final Four type game we just saw in November. And then we're going to hopefully replicate that game in March. So what can you learn from these experiences and some of the upcoming scheduled games that they, which BYU has, that's going to allow them to be their best selves by the time they get to January? Because once you get to January, where are you placing your conference? Like, the non-con is good because it gets you that strength of schedule. And we talked about this. KY was very upset with the schedule last year because it didn't help them come Selection Sunday. This schedule will help them as long as they win a couple of these marquee games. And then subsequently, when you get to conference play, the strength of the Big 12 so far has been outstanding. And I think we're going to see that storyline continue all the way through. You know, last year we talked a lot about the SEC, and deservedly so. The SEC was dominating last year. Historic number of teams in the NCAA tournament, historic number of teams in the Elite Eight. You know, 50% of the Final Four field were from the SEC. The Big 12 this year has an opportunity to do exactly what it's done for a majority of the years prior to that, and that's be the top conference in college basketball, and it's shaping up that way early. So for BYU, your opportunities to improve your resume are not only obviously in the non-con, but obviously in conference play, you're going to have a chance to really improve your resume. And if you want to win a national championship, numbers will tell you, you want to be a one seed, a two seed, maybe a three seed. But if you're in those top three seed lines, now you're legitimately looking at your bracket saying, we got a chance to go all the way and be in Indianapolis when the season is over.
That's the hope for BYU, to be a top three seed and be in position, like you mentioned. We're talking to ESPN's Sean Farnham. Big one with Wisconsin coming up Friday afternoon, kind of a unique situation, 2 p.m. in Salt Lake at the Delta Center. Nick Boyd, John Blackwell, and Wisconsin. It's BYU and Wisconsin, 16-17 in KenPom, both in the top 25. What do you make of this matchup on Friday afternoon?
Really good matchup. I think Wisconsin's underrated based on what they've done so far. They've won every game by 20-plus points. You mentioned Nick Boyd, the transfer from Florida Atlantic, averaging 20 points per game. I think John Blackwell is going to be a guy that figures in to be an NBA draft pick come June. They've got size underneath. And the status of Kebba Keita, I think, is maybe the most important thing to watch this week. If he's able to go, that would obviously help them a lot. Austin Rapp, WCC fans, people that watch WCC basketball will know that name because he was an outstanding freshman a season ago at Portland. He's made the seamless transition over to Wisconsin. He's averaging about 12 points per game, but he's versatile. He can pass the ball. This is a team that plays with great efficiency. They shoot the ball with efficiency from three. They play well together. They assist, have averaging about 18 assists per contest. This is going to be a difficult matchup for BYU. And this, again, is another tournament test. Wisconsin's going to be a tournament team. I think Wisconsin's better than 23. I said it a week ago when I was doing Gonzaga against Creighton when they were throttling the Blue Jays. There's no chance that there was 18 teams better than Gonzaga. There still isn't. I know they moved up, obviously, in the poll this week to number 13. I think Wisconsin deserves to be higher than it currently is in the rankings based on what they've done. However, they also haven't played anybody yet. So now business is about to pick up. So these numbers are as great as they are for Wisconsin. They have not played the same caliber of opponents that we've seen from BYU, obviously with that trip across the country. So it's going to be interesting for them to make that trip to Salt Lake City and have to step up their game, because they will. These numbers are a little bit inflated as far as the point production, which we've seen, the efficiency in which we've seen. I think the keys for this BYU team, if you want to win a national championship, it comes down to the defensive end of the floor. I think offensively, there's enough firepower there for them to win at a very high level. They're going to outscore opponents. We saw that their ability to score even in the second half against UConn, as I mentioned, 52 points against the Huskies. I think they've got to be able to lock in, and they got to lock in early. They have to know what they want to do. They have to be a little bit more disruptive at the defensive end of the floor. Now, when you say disruptive, that doesn't necessarily mean creating steals, turnovers, and opportunities to run out. Obviously, those are great. But can they be disruptive and force them to initiate their offense a step further away so that passes a little bit longer? And if that passes a little bit longer, it's going to allow you to close out quicker and make sure that you're forcing your opponent to shoot contested shots over the hand. You're not giving them a seam. You're not allowing them to get to the basket. And I think those things would be very key for BYU in the game like this against Wisconsin. Wisconsin's tempo, they're scoring 93 points per game. I think that's high too. But I think that's more of a byproduct of who they've played versus who they will be over the course of their season. I think when the season gets done, and this is not, you know, old school Wisconsin where they don't want to play with pace. But I don't think this is a team that's going to be averaging over 84 points per game at the end of the year based on the uptick of schedule with Big Ten conference play, as well as some of their upcoming non-conference games in which they have.
Sean, we look forward to continuing to chat with you throughout the year and see you on NBA Today on ESPN. Thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah. And I'll wear something a little bit more casual, you know, but Jerem, you deserve this. Told Spencer wasn't going to be here today, yeah. I knew I had to dress up.
Cranked it up.
Yeah. For you to, you know, yeah. I mean, the show steps up when Spencer's not here.
Someone had to save the show.
Why should I
Sean,
not step up my game?
Listen, I got to defend that. My boy. Okay? I will fight you next time I see you. No, I'm just kidding. Sean, we appreciate it, man.
I hope you do. I love you both. I love you both. I hope I'm in Provo very soon.
Absolutely.
I'm waiting for that to pop up on my schedule, and I can enjoy a Cougar tail and get to watch this team in person. I think it's coming. It's just not there quite yet.
Let's go. We'll get you the mint brownie, too. I know that's happened before. Yeah. Sean, thanks for the time, man.
Oh, that sounds good. Yummy. I'm hungry.
It's time to eat, almost. I mean, well, it's 9:37 Pacific, maybe not.
Coming up later tonight, after further review, it's back. We're looking forward to it. Blaine Fowler, David Nixon, myself. We'll break down all the big moments from Saturday's big win against TCU, and we'll preview Cincinnati. The show streams this evening at 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+.
Still to come, Kalani Sitake on playoff rankings, how the Cougars could clinch a Big 12 title berth this week, and which BYU players won weekly awards. Headlines are next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jerem. He is Dave. Let's get to today's headlines. Sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Preparation underway for BYU's big football game at Cincinnati on Saturday night. Cougars still in the mix to make the Big 12 championship game and college football playoff. As far as campaigning for better poll position, head coach Kalani Sitake isn't going to do it.
I know all the stuff that's out there. I know what people are saying in the metrics and analytics and the style points and all that stuff. My focus isn't on that. So I understand everything that's out there. I got to be focused on what we can control, which is playing football and the preparation today. That's what I got to focus on. So it's nice that we're in the mix and that people are recognizing what we do, but what does that matter if we don't go 1-0 this weekend? So my focus and what I'm trying to keep the team focused on is the stuff that we can control. I know one thing, we go out there and play at our best and I like our chances, but until then, I'm not going to sit here and campaign and waste my energy on stuff that I can't control.
The Week 12 version of the college football playoff rankings will be released tonight between the Michigan State, Kentucky, and Duke, Kansas basketball games on ESPN right around 8:30 Eastern time.
By the way, Kansas tweets out that Peterson will not play tonight.
Okay.
The vaunted freshman that will go up against AJ coming up in Big 12 play. We can't wait to watch it. Yesterday, the Big 12 Conference announced two different scenarios where BYU can clinch a spot in the Big 12 championship game this week. The first one, BYU beats Cincinnati, Houston loses to TCU, Arizona State loses to Colorado. The second, BYU beats Cincinnati and Arizona State loses to Colorado and Utah beats Kansas State. So, you know, Colorado's got to do some work. We expect Utah to beat Kansas State, and we certainly hope BYU beats Cincinnati.
We love big weekends. Here's a big one. A
lot of information there. Just screen grab this and then compute that later.
Quarterback Bear Bachmeyer named Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week for his performance against TCU. Passed for 296 and a touchdown, ran for 59 and another touchdown. Bear also ranked as the second best freshman in college football so far this season by a report out today from ESPN. Will Farron named Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week, went 3-for-3 on field goals, kicked a 52-yarder, would have been longer, he nailed it. BYU's defensive line earns the Big 12 Defensive Line of the Week award. I didn't even know there was one of those.
Oh, yeah.
But there is. Three sacks, five tackles for loss, holding TCU's offense to their lowest point total of the season. And long snapper Garrison Grimes, named a semifinalist for the Patrick Manley Award, goes to the top long snapper in college football.
When you're good, you get on the watch list. Yeah. Awards, and you stay on them. That's what happened there. Men's basketball dropped two spots to number 9 in the latest AP poll after a win over Delaware and a 2-point loss to number 3 UConn last week. Six Big 12 teams are in the top 25. Up next, BYU plays number 23 Wisconsin Friday afternoon at the Delta Center.
A.J. DeBonta named the Big 12 starting five for the second straight week. He averaged 21.5 points and 6.5 rebounds in the two games, Delaware and number 3 UConn. He had 21 in the second half in BYU's battle with the Huskies. He looked awesome.
Women's volleyball dropped 2 spots, but stayed in at number 25 in the ABCA poll. I was a little surprised. Following the 5-set loss to Utah last week, BYU looks to snap a 3-match losing streak against Arizona tomorrow. Arizona started that losing streak, by the way. Cougars have never lost 4 straight matches under Heather Olmstead.
I like their chances with Arizona coming in. Tennis, anyone? BYU men's tennis announcing the signing of blue chip recruit Ubel Oubre from Miami, Florida. Coming to Provo to hit some balls.
Let's go. Coming up, Viliami Puhon, the BYU defensive performance against TCU, playing for his dad. And the matchup with Cincinnati. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
He'll pump to the left and be snowed under Keanu Tanavasa! Nusi Taumoepea that gets it done to end it for BYU.
I'm proud of the players for the way they responded, because in this game, we made plays.
Yes, they did a 31-point win against TCU. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. The BYU defense coming off a spectacular performance. They got after the quarterback, and they have been in a way that we haven't seen in a couple of years. The Cougars have 15 sacks the last 4 games against good teams. Viliami Puha, part of that defensive line, he talked with Spencer Linton yesterday.
Vili, as you come off just a dominant win over a good TCU team, how are you feeling about the momentum that this BYU team is carrying into Cincinnati for another significant road challenge?
Man, I feel like this is a good step that we needed to take to achieve our goals. And I feel like we've kind of seen what we needed to do during the week to better prepare for teams that we have in the future. So, man, just this, the momentum is a huge thing that we can have right now. So just finding little things to add every day to it.
Not easy to rebound like BYU did and the way that BYU did after such a tough setback at Texas Tech. Why do you feel like this team was capable and ready to do that?
I feel like we've always had it in us, but just like Kalani always says, this is a player ran team, and I think it just took a little step backward for a major step forward, like we've produced last Saturday.
So you come off the win on Saturday night, and we'll get to Cincinnati a little bit, some more and some specifics, but I do feel like I need to point out something that happened for BYU football yesterday on the Sabbath day. When you're at a church after the baptism of one of your brothers, Uluvai Fetuli, what was that experience like for you and the team to be there to support him as he was baptized as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
That's so awesome for him. I feel like that's just accomplishing the mission of BYU. And a lot of us that have served missions, man, even after the mission, we don't take off the tag. So, or even after the mission, even though we take off the tag, we don't take off the purpose. So just seeing all of us just be able to help him, point him in that direction, also the help of the missionaries, it's just awesome just to see him take that step on his own and on his own initiative and not being influenced by any other force but the Holy Spirit.
A winning weekend in multiple ways for BYU
very,
football.
Very much.
No doubt about it. Viliami Puhoha is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, Vili, let's break down Cincinnati's offense. I know it's early in the week, but what have you seen from them and their quarterback and what they're going to try and do to make things hard for BYU?
Man, I really think it starts up front, man. 74 and 60, those two tackles, they look some like big mean guys right there, especially for us defensive ends. They have a lot of tight ends that shift motions. I feel like they have a lot of bells and whistles behind that. So I feel like as we prepare for this week, we just got to focus on our fundamentals, because even though they do a lot in the backfield, I feel like we just read the same block for us up front, and we just got to play our positions first, do our 1-11th. I can't say much on the secondary because I'm not that well. My IQ isn't good back there, but I just know up front, the blocks, they're always the same where the ball's going to go. So we just got to practice those fundamentals each week to get better.
Okay, and maybe I saved the last few questions for the last because maybe they're the best, but what's it like to play for your dad, Sione Puhoha, at BYU?
It's so fun. It's just, I never feel alone, or I never feel that I'm an outcast because I always have my dad. But for a coaching standpoint, he's always said that I'll have like 50 plus coaches in my life, but I'll only have one dad. So he tries to fill that role to the maximum. But when it's football time for him, he takes off that cap and puts on his football coach hat. And then he just gives me all the X's and O's and tells me how it can be better.
Okay, final question. With understandable interest in BYU football building, college football playoff rankings, a lot of noise from the media, and if BYU is going to be in the college football playoff, the Big 12 championship game, what's your key to staying right mentally and just taking care of business against Cincinnati?
I feel like we just got to keep our priorities in check. And it's only the people in our locker room that's going to get us there. So focus on those relationships, focus on perfecting us better. That'll get us there.
All right, Vili, let's give you a significant amount of BYU Sports Nation karma to go and play well, do your thing, dominate in Cincinnati. Be well and keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Go Cougs.
Thank you, Spencer. We invite you to join us tonight for BYU football with Kalani Sitake and BYU basketball with Kevin Young, both head coaches, visiting with Greg Wrubell. This is the change of the guard, so to speak. Live studio audience, much like a double scoop ice cream cone. That's what's being served tonight, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+.
After the break, top five plays, best plays against TCU, plus a rising shout out to Sydney Benali, reppin'. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Victory is the operative word as we welcome you back to BYU Sports Nation. The Cougars taking down TCU. Let's check out the top five plays from Saturday night.
Nice bounce back game for Parker Kingston. Got into the end zone again on that jet sweep where he's so effective. Here he comes around the corner. Third rushing touchdown of the season. This gives BYU a 10-0 lead, a lead they would never lose.
Number four, Falatau Satuala's interception. BYU up 30-13 in the third. Josh Hoover pressured by Tausili Akana, who continues to play really well. Falatau picks off Hoover for his third pick of the season. That's tied for the team lead.
Let's look at Bear Bachmeier, his 10th touchdown rushing touchdown of the season. Gives BYU a 17-0 lead. Nice little hitch there on the option, and then he's in. 10th touchdown, ties him with Taysom Hill, Zach Wilson, and Steve Young for most rushing touchdowns in a season by a BYU quarterback. You know what?
That's amazing.
A pretty good golf foursome right there.
Yes, it is. They will play at Riverside at some point, I promise you.
That's
an amazing stat. He's going to set that this week.
Yeah.
Bears going to have another great touchdown, you think. Number two, Carson Ryan's TD catch from 43 yards out. You'll see more on this tonight in the film room on the Sitake Show. And Saturday on the pregame, Carson Ryan breaks tackles, gets outside. Reggie Frischneck doesn't exactly block, just kind of separates and celebrates, but helps enough for Carson to get in, which is pretty awesome. His third touchdown of the season.
Let's go to number one, which you'll see a variety of angles of tonight on After Further Review.
Heck,
Tanner Wall's 68-yard pick six. And this one puts the game away. It's his first career touchdown. What's cool is the way he gets pushed into the end zone, digs up the turf, and then he's got like a grass face. And it doesn't even bother him because he's so happy that he finally got in. Last year against Oklahoma State, one inch kept him, right?
1 inch.
This time he's in, and what a play. The place went bananas. It was such a big moment for the leader of the defense.
It was so fun. Yeah. I said yesterday he got rudied when he went over.
Everyone
just raised him up. And
as he should.
Our question of the day, in your opinion, where do you believe BYU should be ranked in tonight's updated college football playoff rankings? Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory. At BYU Life for 32 on X. We should be 8. You could make an argument for 9. I would be happy if they would at least give us 10. I'm expecting 11. I agree with everything that was said right there.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about in the opening segment as well.
And it'll probably be 11. And tomorrow we'll go, it's 11.
Today's Rising Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
BYU freshman guard Sydney Benali, once she's performing on the floor fantastically, averaging 7 points and 6 assists through the first 4 games. Here she is running the Navajo flag out before the football game as BYU celebrates Native American Heritage Month. And there she is in grand style. Fantastic. What a big night across the board for everybody.
Love that. Shout out Larry Echohawk as well from the Pawnee Tribe, featured recently in the Deep Blue. Go check that out if you missed it. But thanks to today's guest, Sean Farnham, who dressed up, and Veliami Puha.
Conversation continues 24/7 on all of our platforms.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. For Dave, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Akili Davis. Check out AFR 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app, BYU Football, Clients Talking, and Kevin Young coming up tonight as well.